So hello and welcome to the webinar. Today we're talking about how to create a marketing plan that inspires you. So my name's Jeff McDonald. Some of you may know me as the Ideas Architect or as the Book Wrapper. And today we're coming to you under the banner of Ideas Marketing. So the intent is, how do you design, build and sell your idea? We will be doing questions along the way. So on your control panel, there should be a question box there. So if you've got any questions along the way, feel free to type them in. Won't be opening up the open mic, just so we can keep things moving along. So type your question in. We'll aim to answer the ones we can. And if not, we may even carry them over to next week, or I can answer them between our sessions. So welcome to the new people today. And let's jump right in. So the first part we want to look at is your idea and your marketing plan. So traditional marketing plans, I've made the rather generous statement here and said most of the time they're hiding in our drawers in our computers. And we touched on that last week in our session around creating a visual marketing plan. And in particular, the traditional marketing plan pretty much comes from the perspective that you had a product or service to sell, and then pretty much you wrap it up, like you might wrap up a chocolate or a present, with the idea and the branding on the outside. Whereas what we're talking about with ideas marketing, you're really starting with the idea at the core, and then you're building products or services out of the expression of or facilitating that idea to be in the world. So based on that change in dynamic, I think you need an ideas marketing plan, which is a very different take, or at least a different take on a traditional marketing plan, and that's what we're going to go through today. Last week's session, we looked at curves and ladders, so we looked at the ideas marketing curve and the ideas marketing ladder, and they were two ways that you can have a visual marketing plan. So if you want to go back and revisit that one, the recording at this stage didn't turn out, so I'm going to redo that over the weekend and hopefully get that one up for you. So if you want to replay on that. Another part of our marketing plan that we've talked about in a different webinar, an earlier one, which is available on the website there, is about creating a campaign and looking at different types of capital and having a singular focus and a singular campaign around the types of capital. So we talked about financial capital, intellectual capital and social capital. And if you could come up with a campaign or a project or a game that unites all those three of them, and you get that sweet spot in the middle of that blue, then you're really onto something about your energy and your focus levels. So that's another one that links to today's webinar. And now let's move into four types of marketing plans. So, you know, you've probably heard the old classic, if you fail to plan, then you're planning to. So that's the first type of marketing plan. Second one is, I think this is normally how marketing plans get done. They get written and then they get put in cupboards. They get put in the drawer, or they put in left on the computer somewhere. Whereas last week we started to look at a different type of marketing plan around having a visual marketing plan. And the simple idea there was, if the ideas and your plan for the future and what you're trying to create is out there in front of you and you can see it regularly, then you're more likely to act on it. And particularly you're going to be reminded about it. I don't know about you, but it's pretty easy to forget about your finances when you're struggling with it or ignore it. But when the details like that, your money tree or your money curve or your cash flow statement or something like that is up in front of you, it's hard to ignore it. Way more likely to get you to focus on it and take action around it. So having a visual marketing plan has the same impact. We want to get the ideas up and out of our head and outside of ourselves so we can see them a little bit from a distance, so we can see where we're at and where we're heading to it. And today we're taking that one step further. Today we want to actually have a public marketing plan in the form of a manifesto. And here's the way I think they work. I think a file, the traditional marketing plan stuck in your filing cabinet or on your computer, is very private. And most of the time when we plan from the point of view that this is our secret. You know, it's our secret little game. And yet if we swing right to the other end of the spectrum, the whole idea of a manifesto is that you're declaring your game publicly. And in this way, you get to invite other people into the game. Because we started to speak about this on a previous webinar when we were looking at Scott Belsky's book, Making Ideas Happen, that ideas are public. And at some point, there's this transformation that happens, that when you get the idea out of your head and actually speak it to other people, the idea has the potential to grow. And when you take that one step further and you're able to have that idea shared amongst other people, the more people using your idea, well, the more valuable it becomes. So the idea of having a public or an open, in this case, plan where other people can get involved in is way more suited to having your idea grow and flourish. And at the end of the day, that's what this game's about. And in particular, in the context of social media and building social capital, the whole idea is that business is becoming social. And previously, you might have imagined that a typical organisation was almost like a castle, where they built a big wall and a big moat around them, and they pretty much said, hey, we're the organisation in here, and everybody else out there is the enemy, including our customers. And I think that model's changed now. I think with the internet, and particularly with something like Facebook, where pretty much the audience owns Facebook. Sure, Zuckerman and his mates own it physically or legally, but if the masses of 700 million people all of a sudden decide to leave Facebook, then there's not much the owners of the business are going to be able to do about it. And I think that's where social interaction, and particularly social media, is now driving things. So the customer really is in charge. And as a business person, we need to be thinking differently about our business. And my belief is that part of the allure of a manifesto is that it's a public document. It's a public call to arms, and it's an invitation for people to get involved with our business. And I think that's a big shift around having our ideas flourish, as distinct from merely just trying to sell our products and services. So there's the basic definition of a manifesto. It's a public declaration of your idea or your intent. Traditionally, they've been used by political revolutionaries to create change or overthrow a government, or they've been often used by artists, and particularly for the same reason, to have a bit of a revolution and say, we're not going to do that anymore. This is the new standard, and that's what we're going to have happen. And I think there's a real need for them in business, particularly around the social entrepreneur space, where it's about having an idea and building the idea to fulfill your purpose in life. So it's framing your business as, what's your purpose and how are you going to fulfill that, rather than the mere provision of products or services. So if you've got any questions today, feel free to type them in, and as we go along, we'll see if we can answer a few of them. The manifesto, when I first started this year looking at the project around having a manifesto, I realised that there was a few people that have written about manifestos, but they never really wrote the rules of how do you write them. So that's what I sat down to do as my first thing, and I decided that the first manifesto I needed to write were the rules of a manifesto. So these were the 9 rules that I came up for creating a manifesto, and we're going to be talking about them today. So don't be too fussed about trying to capture them all in that instant or writing them down right now, because we are going to work through these in the next half hour. And if you want a reference point for this, you can go to my project website, 1000 Manifestos, and my goal there is to capture and help create and inspire 1000 manifestos. So at the moment, I think we're up to about 180 something or other, so a few to go. So let's jump in here. Part of the parallel of writing the manifesto was overlaying it to a marketing plan. And what we're going to do is go through these chunks of the 9 principles and apply this back to how they refer to a typical marketing plan. And the goal for today is a little bit ambitious, and I think we can pull it off, that if you'll work through the questions with me, you should be able to get a fairly good outline for your marketing plan and your manifesto at the same time. So that might be a bold outcome today, but let's have a go. So the first principle is manifestos are primal. And this is about your core idea. And if we look at the basics of ideas marketing, we're saying that the idea is the core piece, and then you build things outward from that. And also we're saying that if you really are operating from an ideas marketing space, then you need not a traditional marketing plan, you need an ideas marketing plan. So, who said this? You recognize this quote? I believe that this nation... Well, I probably should put on my radio, but I shouldn't know. I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth. So some of you might have guessed that it was JFK, John F. Kennedy, US President, about 1961. And I think it's a great example where the declaration created a whole bunch of action. And particularly, I want to point to a couple of the words in here. So first of all, he started with, I believe. And often a declaration starts with I. It certainly starts with I because it's you declaring it. But it also starts with something that you believe. And ideally, or probably, it's going to start with the word should. It's something about we should be doing this. So this is the thing you want to tune your brain to if you're looking for your core idea. Notice where you walk around in your life saying, we should be doing this, we should be doing this. Because really what you're saying is, I think I should do this or I should have this. And that might be the start of your idea. The other 2 points I wanted to point out in this little phrase is that he described who. Because often we can say, it's the proverbial we, I believe we should, and therefore nothing happens. Whereas Kennedy, particularly as US president, said, I believe this nation, that is us, we should do this. So he defined who we was. And then he said, and the classic goal setting terminology, before this decade out. So he gave himself a very specific time frame. And there's the classic. If you want some more information, go to 1000manifestos.com and type in JFK, and you'll have some examples and a little bit of story there about where this came from. But pretty much the point is that JFK declared the action, even in the face of the evidence, that they probably weren't going to make it. So pretty much when he made the announcement, and this is the picture of him announcing it publicly at Rice University in 1961, he made the announcement and all the scientists sort of shook their head and say, what is he doing? We can't do that. And they thought it wasn't possible. So it took a really bold declaration, and it certainly helped that he was president and he was able to get some money and resources and unite the nation around it. But it was a pretty bold declaration at the time. And it was that declaration that then had a whole bunch of actions take place until you get that momentous step where Neil Armstrong, in the picture on the right, is just about to put his foot down onto the moon for the first time ever. So having a declaration is the key to starting your idea before you take action. So here's the first question for you, and we'll have a record of these questions at the end so you can write them down as you go, or you can wait till the end as well. But start to think about these. Are you ready to make a declaration? And also, what would that declaration be? So the next one we want to look at is the vision. And most marketing plans have a vision, except the typical marketing plans typically only have a vision for the future, which probably makes sense because most of our visions are for the future. They're not really about the past, but I want to put a different edge to this. I think we need both toward and away from motivations, and I think the hand is the classic metaphor for that. So I reckon if you looked at the palm of your hand, I reckon that's the toward thing. That's the thing we grab towards, and the back of the hand really is the away from. We move it away from the things we don't want to have. And I think that's the weakness of most marketing plans, is that they're one-dimensional or one-way, that they're only looking towards the future, whereas we want to motivate the people that are going to be part of fulfilling our vision away from something and towards something. And typically for most of us, we have a bias towards one of these. Some of us may get motivated by having the outrageous goal of earning a lot of money to go on holidays, and some of us may be motivated by earning enough money so that we can pay the bills this month, or at least having the mortgage paid. So be aware that there's two sides of motivation. I think we need to incorporate both of them into our plans. So I think an ideas marketing plan looks more like this. We do have a towards something and we have an away from. So that way you can generate energy in two different directions and hopefully build a stronger focus around that. So I think you might recognise this happy but chubby sort of man. It's Martin Luther King. And his speech in Washington in the late 60s was probably, is it typically regarded as one of the most profound and most impactful speeches ever given, where he stood up and said, I have a dream. So the critical thing that what he was doing was that he was able to phrase his dream in both sides of the equation. So he wasn't just talking about a dream for the future where he was talking of racial equality. He was also talking about the end to the past. And what he wanted to end was racial discrimination. So he's saying we want to end discrimination but also build equality. And he was able to build his dream from both ends. Another example, and this is my personal example, so this is what ideas marketing stands for me, that I want to disrupt the status quo. I don't want things to continue as they're going, because I don't think that governments and corporations and that are going to be able to fulfill the things that we need socially right now. So therefore, I want to disrupt some of that. And I also want to build future possibilities. So some of these social issues that we've got may get addressed and ultimately solved. So this gives you two questions. So the first one is, what are you ending? And you might like to think of the proverbial line in the sand. What's the end, or what are you terminating in terms of your vision? And the second part of that is, what do you want the world to look like? So you might want to write those down and also just have some reflection time of them, probably more so after the webinar, but that's certainly what we're setting you up for. Is, you know, here's going to be a bunch of questions for you to go away and reflect on. And it's pretty much, what's your vision? The next piece, and probably the core piece around a typical marketing plan, is the market side of things. That, you know, when we talk about marketing, it is fundamentally, by definition, bringing some offer, product or service, to the marketplace. So what's your product or service offering? We talked about that a little bit last week, webinar with the ideas curve. And then how are you taking that to the marketplace? And if you're looking at this from an ideas perspective, it's slightly different from what you'd normally do if you're only looking at it from a product or service point of view. So let's work through points 4, 5, and 6. So the first one, traditional marketing, typically, and this is still a good idea, I'm not saying don't do this, I'm just going to present an alternative here, is traditionally you say, okay, who needs what? And you go and find a group of people that need what you want to sell. Or even better, you go and find a group of people that have a need that they're speaking about that's not being satisfied. So pretty much what we're saying is you go and find your market. The alternative to this, and this is bringing back the idea of the declaration. So pretty much you can either go and see and find the market that way, or you can speak the market into existence. So you can actually create it. And I'll give you a couple of clues on how to do that. So on the left, we have a house. So typically houses are a known problem. You know, we all need a house at some point. So there's a known, and it's also a spoken need from people to have houses so that we can live in them. Living on the streets doesn't sound like a good alternative. And that need's not going to go away. So as the population grows, it's a pretty good guess that you can go, yes, we're going to need more houses, and we're going to need more things in houses, and the trick will be, what sort of houses do we need? And on the other side you have, and probably the most current example is the Apple iPod, that Steve Jobs in particular didn't go around asking people, do you need an iPad? You know, or do you need a tablet? Because a number of other computer companies had tried and pretty much not been able to succeed in getting a tablet to the market and adopted by the masses. Whereas Apple, in all their wonderful glory around innovation, were able to not only bring us something we didn't know we needed, but also have lines of people queuing up to buy one, and now raving fans all over the place talking about and in love with their iPads. And this is the example of creating the market. It's not trying to do something independently. It's not sitting in your lonely office or your study trying to come up with the world's great solution. But it certainly is looking at what are the known problems and even what are the unknown problems. What do people not quite know that they need? And it might be that they haven't quite spoken the need publicly. It might be just some stirring. So what we're pointing to around ideas marketing is that there's power in declaring and spotting opportunities before they're spoken by the masses. And I'm not suggesting that you don't look at the known problems. I'm just highlighting that there is another way of doing it as well. And one of the keys to this is to have... One of the keys to how marketing has changed over the last few years is the swing towards community marketing. And we have talked about this previously in the webinar on cults and how to attract a cult following. And I use the reasonably recent example of the London riots, and the general suggestion was that the backlash from the community was that these youngsters were basically expressing their need to belong in the community. Now, I'm not suggesting for a minute that's the way you go about it, but what we are saying is that marketing has shifted, And the awareness, the need to be aware about having people join you as part of your community, is an important part of business now, particularly with the whole social media, social capital side of things. So start to be aware about that. In particular, we want to use this example around Wikipedia. So I love Wikipedia. I often get on Wikipedia to search for manifestos and other things. It's one of my first places to go and grab information. And you'll see in these very simple five statements, their five pillars, some of the ways that they've described the community that they want to build. So first of all, they're saying we're building an online community. They're then saying we don't want to have a political point of view, we want to be neutral. They're also saying that we're going to provide our content and that anyone can join in. And then their only rule, they even say in their last rule that there's no firm rules, they just want you to be respectful and civil. So it's a fairly loose invitation and description of their community, and it's there nonetheless. And this brings us to the types of interactions we want to have with our community. And my guess, this picture on the left, I reckon the couple on the left-hand side, if you can see that, they've either just had an argument or at least they're not that friendly to each other, is the way I read that. Whereas in the middle, lots of smiles and joy there, and they look like they're having some fun doing some piggybacks. Whereas on the right, they're starting to get a bit more intimate. And this is part of the question around, you want to think about for your business, is what type of relationships and what type of interactions do you want to have within and around your community? And that brings us to the question, what sort of community are you creating? The next part in around this going to the market section is traditional marketing is all about defining your customer. So we have you, then you have your past customers and your clients and all the rest of it, referrals and all the rest of it. And that's the way we tend to look at it. Whereas in ideas marketing, we are the customer because essentially we're trying to build our idea. So therefore, we are the customer, and it's important to define who we are. And love this picture because this is my school that I went to in the US, the University of Nebraska, very famous for their Cornhusker football team. And some of the examples of the way that different organisations have defined their community and defined themselves is Apple. And I think this is one of my favourite manifestos. So We Are the Crazy Ones has a beautiful video that goes with it. And you can check that out at 1000manifestos.com. Another example locally, I've helped Helen McDonald create this one. She's passionate about creating a community of a million optimists on the planet, primarily through her Facebook page. And her declaration is, we are the optimists. And if you're an optimist, you'd be doing some of those things on the screen right now. And I think this brings us to the point where traditional marketing, focusing on the need to go and find customers, has, I think, you've been usurped by social media and its ability to attract customers. And the metaphor there of, you know, turn on your light and attract all the bugs might not be perfect, but it's at least you do want to turn on your light and attract the customers to you is another way. So it gives us a much better chance of being able to create the market and then create a market around what we're trying to do. We're no longer reliant because we have new technology. We're no longer reliant on having to go and find customers in readily found places. We can now have customers come to us. And amazing for me, I've had a whole bunch of Spanish-speaking people from South America talking to me about manifestos. And without the tools of Google Translate and things like that, I wouldn't be able to even have that conversation. So a great example of customers finding you. So here's your question number five. Who are we? You know, who's the tribe that I want to be part of? Who's the tribe that you're creating? What's the community that you're creating? Who are we? The next part is to look at them. And traditional marketing has them as your customers. And another version of this is, and I think Apple have done this very well over history, where they've had a number of campaigns where they've actually picked an enemy, and them is their brand opponent or their brand enemy. And the key idea is that, and I'm not suggesting we have wars, you only have to look in history that the amount of passion, energy and rage that often happens around wars, but if you can have an opponent to defeat, it's a great way to generate energy around your idea. And True to word, I'm not saying your enemy has to be real. It can be real or it could be an intangible one. And I think the classic example is Nike. Their Just Do It campaign. It's not quite targeting Homer Simpson, but it is the Homer Simpsons or the couch potatoes of the world. And pretty much Just Do It is an attack on couch potatoes and procrastination. So you can see that in their message, primarily by going to the star athletes of the world, they give you a really high quality example of doing it in life. And they're encouraging you, here's the gear, here's the shoes, here's the tops, here's the clothes, get out there and do it rather than putting it off to later or even worse, sitting on the couch like a Homer. So start to think about your enemy. And I think the key is that it could be a part of, this is part of that toward and away from motivation, that you want to have a motivation towards something, and the same way you want to bring this down to your community so that you're building a group of people like this, and we're pretty clear we don't want people like that as part of our tribe. So who or what are you defeating? Next one we're going to look at is the results. What are the results that you're producing? And traditional marketing, that's primarily what it looks like. What are we going to be doing? What are the results that we're going to be doing? And this is important. And I don't think it's enough. I think the knowing-doing gap is really a being-doing gap. And in this example, if we need to be happy to be exercised to have the relationship we need to do, then we need to consider the being conversation as well. And for me, I've defined being around that it could be an attitude in the world, it could be a philosophy about how the world works or how for you to be in the world, and it also represents a worldview. So start to think beyond the level of doing to what's the way of being you want in the world. And one of my favourite examples of this, and this one's also on 1,000 manifestos, is the slow movement. And it started out in Italy, I believe about 10 years ago, where the locals started to get a little bit annoyed at all the fast food that was coming, in particular McDonald's, I believe it was targeted at. And so they started a campaign about having local food, organic food, and cooking meals where you sat down and savoured rather than just rushing in, grabbing it, scoffing it down and being on the go. And this way of being is then translated and morphed into other slow movements. So now we have slow travel. So slow travel basically means instead of rushing as quickly and jumping on the plane just to get to your destination, they're suggesting you actually enjoy the travel part of it. So rather than just flying to your destination all the time, maybe it's time to consider driving or taking a boat or maybe even taking a train. So think of travel in a different way. And also the shift or the application to parenting. So one thing that's happening for a lot of kids at the moment is they finish school and then parenting's taking them here, there and everywhere to do sport and do ballet and do piano and then do basketball and then do... And that's fast parenting. So there's a movement around parents of the world that are looking at slow parenting where they give the child nights at home. They put them to bed early, make sure they've got sleep. And so there's this whole movement about way of being around a parent in the world. And here's one from a local example. I was working with Chris and we came up with his Excellence Manifesto and I found this cartoon that pretty much summed it up. So again, we're talking about a business example where, you know, we're talking about the way of being in business to produce particular results. So question 7, what way of being are you promoting? And our next one is, we need to still be doing stuff because action fuels our results. And a great example of this is the Repair Manifesto. So pretty much there's a group of guys in Holland and they decided that recycling wasn't good enough. Recycling gets us some of the way with the environment, but what we really needed to be doing, instead of throwing this stuff out to be recycled, maybe we should be repairing it and fixing it. So they've created a movement around the Repair Manifesto. And I believe there was recently a workshop in Melbourne where they had a bunch of guys who were repairing things so you could bring in your old toaster or something and they would fix it for you. So that's a fairly obvious one, so we won't go into depth on that one. So what actions are you encouraging and promoting and what actions do you want people to take and what actions are you going to take? And now for our last piece and perhaps the most important one is around the presence that your manifesto has or how do you implement it. And traditional marketing typically looks at the wrapping. It's like I view branding is mostly as wrapping. So we have a present or we have a chocolate and we dress it up in a nice party dress or a nice gold wrapper. And I don't think that takes it far enough, because particularly if we were in the ideas marketing space, we don't want to be wrapping up our idea. We want to build it. And we want to build things that celebrate your idea. And I think the best example is the cathedrals that were built through France and Europe in about the 12th century, well, at least 12th to 15th century. And it's been said that each of these cathedrals was the equivalent of having the Sydney Opera House built in your local shire or county. And if you could imagine that these were built through Europe, it would be the equivalent of Sydney having 25 Sydney Opera Houses built through their community. That's how significant these cathedrals were in terms of the resources they took. And the whole point was they didn't build them just because they needed buildings. They built them because it was all about building the idea. It was about building a place. And the reason they were vertical like this, because it was driving you or having you look up to heaven. And that was the idea around Christianity that they were building. So they weren't just cathedrals, they were bigger, much bigger than that. And that was the reason they were able to devote such resources to it, when at the time people were basically poor and struggling to survive. And yet they built things like this, which is just extraordinary. And to use another religion example, I think they're the best at this, that what we really want to be doing is presencing your idea. And the best way to do that is to create products that have a tool that enables someone else to build your idea. So think of the Bible or a book as a way to read the stories of Christianity in this case, so that they can presence what that whole religion and faith is about. But also have artifacts like the cross, so you can see the cross on the wall and you can be reminded about Jesus's what he gave up in pursuing his faith. And then on the other side, we've got the example of the rosary beads. So the Catholics use these as a means to facilitating their prayer. So start to think of presenting your idea in a way that people can use it as a tool rather than just simply reading about it. And this is, if you remember back to the previous webinar when I was talking about books, you can see that I like books, but it's also, I think they're limited. And we need to start thinking about tools rather than just giving away information. So think of the ways that you can build your idea so others can live it. You know, so rather than just giving them some information in a book, how could you give them a tool so they could actually live that way? And I think a good example was from Scott Belsky's Making Ideas Happen, that not only did he have a philosophy about how do you make ideas happen, but he built a system. And it was a three-part system of here's how you can fulfill your ideas more easily. So not only had the philosophy, he had the tools that other people could join in fulfilling their ideas. So any quick questions? We're probably about on time here. I probably didn't leave a lot of time there for questions. That was probably a bit of a big spray there. So hopefully you've captured this. Even better, hopefully the recordings have worked and you'll be able to revisit them to just check your notes. And if you've got any questions, feel free to type them in. So what's next? So let's wrap this up with some actions for yourself. So here's the first thing. I have written an ebook around manifestos that goes into a lot more detail about this. So if you want to grab that, you can download the document there. There's the URL at the bottom. Hopefully that's a quick and easy one to type or write down. So have a read of that book, that ebook. And so before you start writing all this down, so I want you to answer these questions. These are the questions that we've asked through the webinar. So start to write down and reflect on what would you put down as answers to these questions. So rather than write all this, you can either grab a copy of the slides that will be available on our website, and that will have a copy of this. Otherwise, if you're on your computer right now, you do a screenshot of it. So I know on the Apple it's Command-Shift-4. We'll let you do a screen grab of this and you'll get all those questions in one little piece. And I think on a PC, remembering rightly, I think there's a print screen button. So hopefully grab a screenshot of this, and that way you won't have to write it down. That's also a sneaky little thing for other webinars you go on. If you like the image or the diagram or the statements, do a screen grab of them and put them in a folder to give your own record of them. You can also grab the slides from here, so if you're not keen on that, you can just grab the slides. So What do we do? So he said, read this, answer this, and basically write this. Essentially, this is a picture of the US Declaration of Independence, which pretty much launched America. So the power of a declaration to launch a country. So maybe that's what you could do today. So by answering your questions, you'll start to formulate your declaration and your manifesto and your marketing plan as well. Our next webinar. I'm pleased to say our next webinar is our 10th webinar. So a couple of questions there from Jenny. So the first one, before we go on to the next webinar. So if my ideas are about making money, is a manifesto still okay? I would say absolutely, because I think you've got plenty of good examples that I've shown today through Apple and the like where they are using a manifesto and they're also making lots of money. I would simply bring it back to the campaign model that we drew earlier, which had financial capital, intellectual capital, and social capital. And my suggestion would be that you want to have your idea couched in all three of those. Because if you're solely focused on money, 90% of people are not motivated by money. And if your program or your campaign is about money, it's going to make it very difficult to actually invite other people to join you in your campaign. So having those other two ways of building capital is the way to broaden your appeal to other people. So that would be my suggestion around that, Jenny. Reminds me of Apple commands. The Apple command for the screenshot was command shift 4, all held down at the same time. I'll actually just do it on the screen for you here at the moment. So if I go, and then you should get a little, see I've got that little thing up, and then that'll just let me take a spot like that. So that's Apple command. That's how you do it on the Apple. So our next webinar, so I'm doing these webinars weekly at 12:30 on a Thursday to about 1:15, and our next webinar is our 10th one, so I'm quite happy about that, quite proud about that. I've now done 9 today, and we've had a few requests for question and answers, so to review some of the material we've covered and also to answer some of your questions. And the way that we want to do this is rather than having a free-for-all online and to give me a little bit of chance to organise my thoughts and even organise the questions, ask your questions in advance. And one way to do that, you can definitely email me at jeff@ideasmarketing.com.au or alternatively go back to the previous slide and our Facebook page is there, so facebook.com/ideasmarketing. Put some questions up. That'll give me a chance to frame up some of the things that you want to discuss for next week. And also want to put in an ad for the workshop we've got coming up in Melbourne on the 14th of October. It's a one-day workshop, and we'll be looking at this whole idea around ideas marketing. So how do you design, build, and sell your idea? Workshop goes from 8:30 to 5 o'clock. The full retail price is $450, and if you're quick, I think that's Thursday next week, $270 is an early bird price, so that's a pretty hefty discount. So if you're quick off the mark in the next week, you'll get that at a very, very generous price. And if you want some more information, there's more on ideasmarketing.com.au/workshops. And if you want more on our webinars, there's the address for that one. And I want to leave you with one final thought. Some of you may recognise this man. He's starting to look rather distinguished now. Jerry Seinfeld. And Jerry Seinfeld, I'm not sure if you know the story or even know much about his career, but pretty much he went from doing local clubs to doing big New York clubs to being on TV and then having his own TV show, which became a worldwide smash, all in about 12 to 18 months. And it was a classic example of overnight success, and or at least it appeared that way. And later people started to interview him, and because he became this worldwide phenomenon around the popularity of his TV show, and they pretty much asked, it's like, well, Jerry, how did you do that, you know? And pretty much his three-word reply was, do the work. And I think that's a good way to finish for today, because really coming up with your manifesto and thinking through your marketing plan requires some work. You can certainly skip ahead if you want to, and I think at the end of the day, we get rewarded when we do the work. So that's our time for today. Thanks for being part of the webinar today. If you do have questions, feel free to send them in, and hopefully we'll see you on our next webinar. That's all for today. Thanks and bye.